Hey guys, we are back. We are in our second hour of the WGXC afternoon show. It is Tuesday, January 2nd, and we are here, as we have been all day, at the Catskill Public Library. I am so pleased to welcome our afternoon guest, Maggie Uhalday. Hopefully I'm doing that right.
The last name is Walday, but it's okay.
Walday.
Yeah. Uhalday is kind of the closest you can get, though, on a first try without knowing. So.
Well, we're learning things already. Maggie is, aside from being a musician in the band Evergreen, she is also the founder of a record label, Rad Femme Records. And if that's not enough, she is also the Community Arts Grants Coordinator for the Greene County Council of the Arts. Is that right?
Yes.
All right. So how does a young lady such as yourself already have the world under her control?
That is very flattering, actually. I wouldn't say it's quite under control, but I'm more rolling with the world. But basically, almost all of this can actually be traced back to the Prattsville Arts Center. When I was, after Hurricane Irene, the Prattsville Arts Center opened from this just skeleton of a building, and I can remember being there with no running water, no electricity, no heat, no nothing, and here we are, like, hanging an art show with, in an entire building with only two outlets and organizing dozens of extension cords and clip lights to make this art show happen. But years later, here we are, and the Prattsville Arts Center is, it's an internet cafe, and it's a coffee bar, and we have an espresso machine that I taught myself to use, and it's all this incredible stuff is happening. We have an Earth Club, and now I run a music series there under Rad Femme Records, and so in a sort of roundabout way, the Art Center also led me to my job at the Greene County Council on the Arts, and, I wouldn't have started, it's not quite a record label, it's more of like a... Although that would be an awesome place to take it in the future. It's more of like a sort of event. Words are not happening right now. It's more of like an event, event planning type thing, like live music events and such.
Rad Femme is like a, you coordinate events and stuff. You book shows.
Basically, promotion. Company. Duh. We almost exclusively work with the Prattsville Art Center in residency, just because, like, I'm an event coordinator at the Art Center through Rad Femme Records, and really we work with the Art Center so much because, one, it's a place that I love and consider, I very much belong there, and two, my director, Nancy Barton, who's the executive director there, is just fantastic and was like, oh, you want to do events? Yeah, just tell me when they are. So that was... It gave me a lot of freedom to sort of accommodate the artists more, where, like, when you work for other venues, you have to jump through a lot of hoops and you have to get all these approvals and such, whereas Nancy was just like, as long as there's nothing happening, we completely support you. So,
fantastic.
Yeah.
So if the Prattsville Arts Center is the seed from which you have grown your mighty and triumphant plant of life here, is that like a community oriented space, or is that something that you helped put together? Or
it is absolutely very much community oriented. Like, we basically first and foremost exist for the community. Like, if there is a need or a want that somebody who works with the Art Center sees, or if it's brought to our attention, we will do our absolute best to make it happen with the community. Like, for example, there was a young person that really wanted to take ballet classes, and all of a sudden there were ballet classes available at the Art Center for, for a while until that person lost interest. I think they might have moved, but for the main point being that, there was a want for it. There was a serious want for it. And so it happened because, Nancy is wonderful. And so is Phoebe Potter is the associate director of the Art Center. And so they're just a really, really amazing team there of people who just genuinely care about the arts and about Prattsville and the community. And so it really is a real community space. At all of our shows are free. Like, I don't ever want to charge to get into a show, because that's you know, it, growing up poor, like, even though the art center is right there, if I had to pay to get into one of these shows, say if I was one of the younger kids and somebody else was running things, like, I wouldn't have gone because I couldn't have afforded it, even if it was $5 at the door, even if it was, you know, nominal fee like that. But instead, we run it as...
These are all ages shows?
They're all ages shows. They are completely free shows. And 99% of the time, we have dinner for everybody in attendance.
Oh, that's
so
fantastic.
Yeah, for, you know, like, super healthy options. I've never, like, had healthy food that tasted, like, really, really good before. So it's like, it's, you know, you go into a place, and if you're not, like, familiar with, like, vegan options or something like that, you're kind of like, oh, okay. But it's just, it's fantastic. And it's basically, almost all the time it's vegan, and a lot of the time it's made with stuff that is grown, like, from the garden in the, like, at the art center. So it's really, there's just so many ways it's community oriented. It's great, and it's really great to be involved there and to find a home there for, you know, all the stuff that I love to do. But we also try to work with local musicians as much as possible, and there aren't too many of them in Prattsville, and if there are, please tell me, because I would love to have you involved, please. But we really just try to get everybody involved as much as possible. And we've had local musicians from, like, Middleburg and Tannersville and Catskill, actually, 2 days from now. We've got two young rappers from Catskill that are going to be on a bill with a touring musician. So it's really, like, any way that we can involve the locals in the community, we absolutely want to.
What sort of radius would you consider to be local to Prattsburg?
Do you have an interesting one?
Clearly defined boundary at which you kind of, like, feel like, you know, you've already got enough in your community?
I mean, I don't, because I really haven't had, I haven't been able to find, a kind of, like, solid base of local musicians, and I would love to. I'm really hoping one day that I'll just be, like, looking around somewhere, or I'll go to see music somewhere and just find, like, a dozen bands there that I can, you know, then work with in the future. But we've had people from, like, because the other thing is that we have touring musicians from, I think the furthest so far has been Las Vegas.
Okay.
People have come to the Art Center. So local is kind of subjective, considering how it's pretty rural out there and everything is pretty spaced out. So we've had musicians from, like, Albany and considered them local. Although I would love, and we all would love to have, I guess, more hyper local musicians. If I could have people from, like, from Prattsville open up for people from Las Vegas, that would be, like, the ultimate dream.
Sure. Have you started to notice, I'm not sure how long you've been running this program, but have you noticed that there's, like, a whisper of a music scene starting to form around the art space?
We started doing shows in February, the music series anyway. And another thing is the Headed for the Hills Music Festival, which, you know, last year was its first. It's a new year. Okay.
Yeah, we just entered it.
Technically, 2 years ago was the first ever Headed for the Hills Music Festival. It started out as one day long, and then last year it grew to 3 days, which was quite the endeavor and was very cool. But since then, like, we've even succeeded in creating, like, music classes for, like, beginners on guitar and mandolin and all these different instruments and drums. And so I've seen, like, a few of the kids that frequent the Art Center have been, you know, picking up instruments and carrying them around. Like, they don't just put it down. They want to keep practicing, and they're passionate about it. And so I'm hoping, even though it might take a few years for them to get to comfortable enough to form a band or whatever, I'm hoping that we're sort of fostering the next generation of the music scene.
So given about, you know, three to eight years, we're going to have a really great mandolin, drum,
there
and guitar
you go.
Band coming
exactly.
out.
Exactly. No, the kids that are around the Art Center are always amazing. I always, you know, it doesn't matter if zero people come to the show or if 20, 30, 40 people come to the show. Like, as long as that one kid that's always there is there, I feel like I'm accomplished, because that kid was me.
Yeah.
You know, a few years ago. But as far as other bands in the area starting to pop up, like, because I feel like that's kind of a good indicator of a scene, like, starting mm-hmm. to grow, like, you start to see more bands in the area. I don't think there have been many. If there are, I want to throw a show for them. But but not that I've noticed. I mean, we're still in the very much baby stages of putting on music and whatnot, and we're still trying to figure out, like, how to reach an audience or how to reach our audience. We're in the audience development stages, and we just try to accommodate the bands and give them whatever they need while they're on tour, and, you know, give the kids a place to go. Which is why it's all ages. Like, sure. All ages spaces are so, so important, and they don't exist in a lot of places. So
it's important. Yeah, it's true. And having a place that is reputable and safe, parents know that they can send their children there without concerns of,
absolutely,
you know, being subjected to, like, drugs or mm-hmm. alcohol. Not to say that those ingredients don't have their place at a rock show, but not at an all ages show. So
no, exactly. I mean, we have all kinds of music at the Art Center. Like, in 2 days we have a hip hop and rap show, and actually the touring musician is called Disaster Piece. He's a rapper, but he has a full band backing him. So I'm excited to see that.
Very cool.
Yes, it's very cool. But, you know, we have hip-hop and rap. We've had avant-garde jazz. We've had... I'm not even sure what to call it. It wasn't quite a cappella, but it was, like, vocals and percussion. We've had indie rock, we've had hardcore music, like screaming guitars and screaming people. And specifically, I'll never forget this, a band called Dismissed. I forget where they're from, but it was a band, or it was a hardcore show, and there were like six bands on the bill that night. And my little brother was there, and my brother is now 11. And, you know, mind you, he's like taller than me and weighs more than me now, but... as an adult bringing their little brother to, like, a hardcore show, like, I have trust in my shows. Like, right. I know that yeah. the people are going to be decent, and that they're going to be, you know, my little guy's going to be safe, even though he's larger than me, so what am I saying? But I'll never forget turning around from the soundboard, and the singer of Dismissed, and there was probably one or two other guys, but these huge, like, super tattooed and pierced up guys are, like, teaching my 11-year-old brother how to two-step to hardcore music.
Is
and
that
he was
true?
Just going
That's
at it.
Amazing.
It was the cutest thing I've ever seen, and it was incredible. And there were a bunch of these other little kids that are maybe like 10 or 11 just running around as the music is going, and they're loving it. And that was a very good moment for me in running the music series.
No, it's true. Having children at a show brings a totally different energy to the space, and you kind of like bring out a different side of the musician too when they have to, you know, face that, and when they look out in the crowd and see that everyone there is just like a smiling little red
yeah.
face of a child. Yep. Like, you really let your guard down and become a sort of different performer.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was just great because, like, having people being introduced to music like that. Like, I was an emo kid growing up, so I was into the whole, like, extremely sad, angsty music and whatnot, and I had my little screamo phase.
I've been trying to figure out exactly where does the realm of screamo begin and end? What would be a representative band that you would say is a screamo band?
Okay, as far as I know, it's kind of not cool to call people screamo anymore. Like, it's almost, it's like, I remember there was a certain point where, like, I was growing up and I said screamo and they were like, oh God, what? Like, don't call them that. And I was like,
what's the politically correct term for this now?
Allegedly, it's post-hardcore.
Post-hardcore, okay.
So I'm not, like, super good on the, like, hyper specific genres, because we have so many genres of music now. Like, mm-hmm. honestly, if you see me, like, labeling a show as a genre, it's probably because I went to the band's, like, band camp and just looked at what they tagged themselves as.
Right.
So, you know, like,
their self-described genre.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's like, for my own band, we call ourselves indie alternative. As vague as you can possibly get.
Sure.
Without, you know,
alt indie.
Yeah, exactly. But So I had my phases with that, but it was like, it's really, really cool to have sort of influences that are real people and not just like, you know, bands or a famous person or whatnot. Like having an actual older person there at a show with you, like teaching you how to two-step, teaching you how to, you know, like mosh pit etiquette. What are you doing?
Did they get a little mosh pit going?
They, oh my goodness. They, there was actually, that was the one show where I decided there would be no crowd killing at the Art Center. Cause like, I'm not one to like, we never ever censor people there, but there's like a difference between safety and censorship. So
sure.
That was the one show where like, they did get the mosh pit going, and a few minutes in, I was like, okay, we're gonna, you can like keep like doing this. Just like, stop throwing elbows. Stop. Do not knock the art off the walls. Like, that is disrespectful. And, you know, carry on. Fine. Yeah. It's fine. So there's, you know, and there are, you know, obviously adults there too. Like, if anything were to ever, ever happen, which is unlikely, knocking on wood, but if anything were to ever happen, then there are adults there that are more than capable of handling, like, any kind of situation. Whether it's myself, whether it's, you know, one of the other staff, we have it, you know, we have it under control, even when it's a mosh pit. We even designated a space, like we have all this furniture where we have a few couches and a ton of armchairs and then like a ton of just wooden chairs. And we kind of like gated off this one portion of the floor mm-hmm. for people to be moshing. And like, if they fell off, they would fall into a couch. They would, yeah, it was perfect. So, and then I would say to the kids, like, you know, you're not quite big enough to be doing that yet, but
you
like,
you
can
have
hop
to be
around
this
over
tall
here
to, join the mosh pit.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, and Moose, my little brother, we call him Moose, his name is Miles, but Moose was tall enough, but I still said no. So, this tall and this old to mosh in this capacity. But yeah, I mean, it's like, it's striking the good balance of like letting them experience like all there is to experience about that kind of show. And then saying like, all right, safety. So, the kids were kind of just like pogoing in the corner and that was fine. They're like, this is moshing, right? It's like, yes, sure.
Are you having fun? Then yes,
exactly. That's moshing. But it's great because we've had like, you know, we had, what jazz group was it? There was a jazz group and there were people like slow dancing through the,
that's,
you know,
adorable,
around like the coffee bar. And it was, you know, we do everything. We've had poetry. We've had acoustic nights. We've had like country nights. We've had lo-fi nights, just anything you can imagine. If we haven't had it, then we're probably trying to get it soon.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's nice seeing how like, how the people that come there are like exposed to all this different stuff too. It's like not just a hardcore scene. It's not just a hip hop scene. It's not just an indie rock scene. Cause a lot of places where you go, like there are definitely niches. Like you can go there, but you're probably not going to do well as a hip hop artist in a lo-fi scene, you know? So it's cool to bring all those different things to the table in one place.
Sure. And when you're that young, you haven't really committed to any sort of scene identity. So having a great exposure to any number of different genres is nothing but a boon for the community, you know?
Oh, totally. Yeah.
I'm assuming that you have grown beyond the one outlet with extension cords running everywhere phase, or is that still
No, we absolutely have. Okay. I'm so fortunate because the guy that built a lot of the Art Center, actually, Calvin, he's a handyman extraordinaire. He actually, the part of the floor where we use for our quote unquote stage, it's in the gallery, and that's even nicer because it's a much more intimate, like truly DIY setting. Mm-hmm. I'm fortunate enough to have three different circuits in that space right there.
Wow.
So it's like
luxury.
Absolutely. Especially, you know, we had one show where it was this awesome hardcore band, and a lot of times these DIY bands go super hard. Like they'll bring their own light show, they'll bring their own like visuals and graphics, and this one band brought these enormous light boxes. And they asked me to turn off all the other lights because we also, like, we have a, like, little stage lighting going on, too, really impressive for clip lights and gels, let me tell you. But every photographer is like, I love you. But so they asked us to turn off all the lights, and there were just these enormous, like, flashing lights, and they, like, blew the breaker.
Oh, wow.
And but because I wasn't paying attention when they were plugging in their stuff, and they all had it going through, like, one mm-hmm. power cable, I was like, no. There's so much power coming from this one strip right now. But yeah. We just, you know, shuffled a few things around, and we're back on it. So yeah,
can't keep a good show down.
Exactly, yeah. The most impressive visual, just actually the most impressive show, like, in general, I've heard from multiple people in the audience, as well as just my opinion, has been a band called Calliope Musicals. I think they're from Texas, but they were doing a residency in New York City where they were, like, playing at this club, like, two nights a week. And so they just hopped upstate from the city, and they had a guy who was literally just dedicated to, like, running the visuals, and he would, like, pick up props on stage and wave them around and do things on stage while they were performing. And this is all happening in this little art center that, like, they're performing on the floor, and yet they have these, like, graphics, like, flying across the wall behind them. And it was so cool to see that in the art center.
It's good devil hype, man.
Absolutely.
If you are just tuning in, this is WGXC Acra afternoon show. We're talking to Maggie Walde, who is a true Renaissance woman. We've been talking about her work at the Prattsville Art Center.
Yes.
Prattsville Art Center. Her promotions company, Rad Femme Records, puts on a music series there, and their next show will be Thursday, January 4th with Disaster Piece, Young Mall, and Bonky?
Banshee. Young Mal and Banshee. Banshee. They're from Catskill. They're right from Catskill.
Well, come see our hometown boys at the Prattsville Art Center.
Absolutely.
And it looks like you guys do about a show a week, at least.
It's funny because the way that we do shows is really we only ever do them when people ask for them. So it's like people will come to me and say, hey, can you do this show on, you know, January 17th? And I'll look at my calendar, and if I can, then we will. And that's really just how it works.
Well, the doors are at 7:30 p.m. and it's an all ages show.
Yes.
Free to the community.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, if you are in the area and a young person or a musician or just someone who wants to enjoy a burgeoning art scene, you should attend.
Also, free food. The free food is awesome.
Oh, okay. Yes. Is that at 7:30 or is that before?
It really, like, it always depends on, they usually have dinner ready between the time the first or second act goes on and before the show. So, okay. Like, you can just
kind of... So, it's kind of like buffet style during the show?
Or... Exactly. Right, yeah, great. It's a very free form kind of thing.
Well, it's a wonderful resource for the community. So, thank you for doing that. I also, while we have you here, wanted to talk about your alt indie band, Evergreen, with
yes.
two Vs. And we have some songs, which I would very much like to be able to play, but maybe you could tell me a bit about your band.
Well, Evergreen, my drummer, I can't say her nickname on the radio. Dang.
Is her nickname a cuss?
Her nickname is Bad Blank Cass. It rhymes with Cass.
Oh, okay.
So,
gotcha. All right.
I got you guys. Don't worry. It's a truly... I came up with that nickname when we were in high school still, like little tiny little metalheads in high school. But my drummer just informed me that, you know, Evergreen was created just about 3 years ago. And I was like, are you serious? Has it really been, like, that long? But Evergreen is indie rock and alternative pop, sort of. We kind of, like, we're still not quite sure, but we get compared to Paramore a lot.
Okay.
We also get compared to, like, Third Eye Blind and Oasis. And somebody once compared us to Alabama Shakes.
Interesting.
I still don't know how. I don't know how that works, but we do
an emotional level. I agree.
An emotional level. Okay. All right.
All right. Well,
Okay,
Neva's
cool.
the boss, and she says yes, so...
All right, cool.
Put that on your resume.
Cool. All right. The, Neva the boss says we're like Alabama Shakes. So
on an emotional level.
On an... All right, yeah. Cool. That's actually a really good quote. Like, you would see that in the CD, like, as the quote, like, the critic's quote.
Just make sure it's attributed properly.
Absolutely.
To Neva the boss.
Neva the boss. Awesome.
So you're 3 years into your career with Evergreen, and you've put out a record.
We have a ton of original stuff. Like, we have we have more than a full album's length of originals, but we only, like, just recently, like within the past year, put out our first two singles, "Don't Even" and "Doubt." And that's because recording is really hard.
So, it sure is.
And it's just like, you know, Cass is in college. Devin and I are working. Our former guitarist was like working all the time. And we kind of like, now I live, my bassist, Devin and I live, we're roommates actually. We live in Windham and Cass lives in Roxbury. So it's like an hour away from each other and we're all over the place. And so it's hard to get as organized as you need to be to record. And like, it's one thing to record, but to record well is a totally different story. And like, we're all, I guess, for lack of better words, judgmental enough of ourselves that we can't like
critical.
We're like very critical of ourselves. So like, we don't want to record something and have it not be, you know, like fall below our expectations of ourselves. So, because I hate that so much when I find this band that I love and I'll see them live and it's incredible. And then their recordings are just like, maybe they couldn't afford to go to a certain place or whatever, but it's just like, this is not representing you well. And it's so sad because you're amazing. Yeah. Like, you deserve so much more. So it's always,
yeah,
you know.
I mean, there are bands that just tend to perform better live, and it, you know, trying to record that is like trying to capture lightning in a bottle sometimes.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, I totally feel where you're coming from.
Yeah.
But going into the recording process with that attitude, I'm sure yields much better results than just kind of like, yeah, whatever, man, whatever happens, like, let's just wing it.
I think it depends on like what you're doing too, because as far as like Evergreen is kind of interesting, because like we kind of went through, well, first of all, we're looking for a bassist. Second of all, the members that we've had for these past 3 years have all really, like, in their own way, really heavily shaped like certain aspects of the band. We are also a band that, while we do originals, we also do like the 4-hour cover shows.
Oh,
so
fun.
Yeah, I mean, it is fun, it's just exhausting. It's it's a job, and I don't think a lot of people understand like how much work goes into that, not just like previously, but like me singing and playing guitar and having to be like 110% on that entire 4 hours. It's so tiring, and most of the time, like, you're coming to the bar or to the venue like from your full-time job. So,
right,
like, after loading in your equipment and then loading out all your equipment and then setting everything up, and then, you know, maybe there's two people there and you still have to be on for those two people. So
no,
it's like,
I mean, that's very important.
Yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely. So it's like, that has shaped us a lot as well.
Not everybody can master that skill either. I've seen a lot of established bands play to small crowds and just like, you know, you treat those people poorly. Those are the people that showed up to your show. Like,
right,
you should be very thankful that those people are there.
Exactly.
And, you know, next time you come to the area or play that venue, there will be more people because you played an awesome show to those people and they bring their friends. Like, that's the way it goes. So
it is, that is the way it goes. And it's kind of like, it really depends on what your attitude for it is. Like, of course, it's super, super disappointing when nobody shows up because you're so excited and you just want to, like, to me, this music, first of all, I'm like ripping my heart out on stage every single time that I play these songs, because they're written from, like, I can't help but write super specific things that are relevant to me. So like, sometimes it's like, if I get into it a lot, I get like angry. I'm like re-experiencing like all these things that, you know, made me write this music. And it's like, the one hope is that you connect to people with that. And if there's no people to connect to, you're kind of just like yelling at an empty room. But it's like, it really comes down to like what you're there for, and you're there to play your music. But there, no matter what.
Is a difference between no people and two people, though.
Absolutely. So oh, yeah, absolutely.
If
yeah.
you're, I mean, it, musicians who are able to perform in that capacity and who are open to, you know, playing a good show for two people often tell me, like, that was the best show they've ever played. And you, right. like, really have this, I mean, you say you want to connect to someone. There's no better way to connect to someone than when you're, there's, like, three people in the audience.
Absolutely, yeah. It really, like... It really depends on the people in the audience, too. Like, if those... If there could be 50 people... Because we've played shows where there's, like... we played at the over in East Durham once over, like, Memorial Day weekend. We played two nights. And one of the nights, there's, like, 200 or 300 people outside just, like, sort of, like, milling around. Mm-hmm. And just... We're not paying it attention at all.
Yeah.
So it's, like... There's 200 people there.
See, now that's playing to, like, nobody.
Exactly. Yeah. So it really, like, if there's two people there and they are all eyes on you and they are, and I'm not talking about, like, if they're looking at their phone or not, because I hate when people get mad at people for, like, looking at their phone or whatever when they're at
it's
a show.
It's muscle memory anymore.
It's like, well, it's also like, I know plenty of people with, like, ADD and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's actually how they're paying attention. Like,
sure.
If they didn't have something else to,
or,
like,
hey, keep
they
might
occupied,
be, like,
you know?
Getting on Twitter saying, hey, come to this amazing show that's happening right now.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I hope all of the bands know that when I'm sitting behind the soundboard at the Art Center, I'm constantly on my phone, but I'm, like, live streaming, Facebook, come to the show. It's still happening. Like, so, but anyway, like, if those people that are in your audience care, even in the slightest bit, that's all that you can hope for as a musician. Because, I mean... My whole point in being a musician and an artist and whatever creative whatever is connecting to people. And maybe you don't quite, like, understand the lyrics. Maybe you can't even hear the lyrics. Maybe you can only hear the drums, or maybe you can only see the stupid faces I'm making. But, like, if you can connect to me and feel something from that music, then that's all I want and that's all I aspire to. Because it's really, like, it's just communication.
Sure.
It's just, you know...
It's an exchange of energy. Every show is a reciprocal exchange where you're putting something out as a performer and you get something back too. Like,
absolutely.
You get a response, or you get, you know, you catch eyes with that one person who's like really feeling you.
Yes.
Like just sitting there, like, stunned and dazed and just, like, reciting your life story through your words, but that it means exactly the same thing to them because they feel you.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is what the music industry is it just a big exchange of artists and creators feeling each other. And
right.
So
yeah, no, we played a New Year's Eve show in Oneonta and there was like four different stages, like, going on at the same time. So we were just happy to play because we like playing in Oneonta. There's some really nice, like, music events that go on over there. So we're playing, and there's just, like, maybe, like, 20, 30 people in the room. And it's a big room, so, like, it doesn't look like there's a lot of people. But there's two things I will remember, and we had a blast. Well, okay, three things. First of all, the sound was incredible, and that's so, so nice, especially when, like, as a singer. And I forgot my earplugs. So I was terrified that I was going to be awful. I wasn't going to be able to hear myself, whatever. So kudos to that sound guy. I love him. I hope we work with him every time we go to Oneonta. second and third, there were two groups of people in the audience that I was looking at and will remember. And one was like this older couple that could have been like my grandparents' age. And I always get nervous because our music is, we have such a like broad range of sounds. And for whatever reason that night, we were like really banking on our heavier sound and a little bit of like, if you read into some of the lyrics that I write, it could be like a little bit raunchy. Like, not the songs that you have, but like other songs that aren't released. Like, it's not like whatever. But so I'm always like a little bit nervous when it comes to like people that I don't really know or whatever. And this older couple is all the way up in the back and they're rocking out the entire time. They were dancing in their seats and they were waving their hands and clapping and it was amazing. And then in the very front, like a few feet away in front of me, was this woman and like her little toddler, and they were just dancing to the music. And it was amazing. And like, those are my favorite things ever, are when people get into it And it's just, you know, I had my sister run up on stage and sing the backing vocals to Don't Even. And that's also, I think, probably, well, that's part of connection. But, like, my dream is to have, like, the audience, like, crowd around me and just scream my words back at me. It's like, that's the dream. And it's happened, like, once before. And it was all my friends. But one day, it'll, well, okay, anybody that supports me is my friend. But one day, it'll be people that I didn't force to go to the show. So yeah, I will remember that. That those things are memorable.
All right. Well, everyone go to Maggie's show and scream at her while she's playing.
Yes, please.
Well, speaking of Don't Even, that was the first single that you guys put out?
Yes, that was our first ever single released.
Last year?
That was like mid-summer we released that.
Okay.
Yeah, just about mid-summer.
Cool. Can we listen to it?
Absolutely. Please do.
All right, here it is. This is Don't Even by Evergreen, and that's Evergreen with two V's.
Give me a sign, don't ask if I'm all right. I don't wanna know if I've been on your mind. Throw me a line, show me how now, don't be shy. 'Cause I'm only asking a few questions.
That was Don't Even by Evergreen. That was their single from last summer. And we are sitting here with Maggie Walde.
Perfect.
Third time's a charm. the lovely young lady who you just heard singing. and we've been talking about her work with the Prattsville art community and her work with Evergreen. I guess we can talk about whatever, but we still have a we have about 10 minutes and we have one more song, and I would like to get that in before the end of the show.
Totally, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, how was it different to record Don't Even from when you recorded the next single?
The next single is Doubt, and we recorded them in the same day. And so it was really interesting because, first of all, we had to practice playing to a metronome.
Oh, really?
That was insane. Mm-hmm. That was really, like, you really don't realize how much your performance varies. Even if it sounds perfect to you, like, you'll go back on the track and you're like, what happened? Like,
sure.
How did this fall apart? Because we recorded each instrument individually. So what happened was, with both tracks, Cass, the drummer, recorded first.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like, fortunately, we were able to do it where I was sitting in the studio and I was singing and playing guitar so she could listen to it while she was also listening to a metronome and playing the drum parts. Like, she wasn't going in totally dry with, like, no background noise whatsoever.
Sure.
Although I'm sure she could have, because she's a fantastic drummer. Like,
yeah.
Really, really, really good drummer.
So you were playing along with her, but just not being recorded.
Exactly.
Like, she could hear
yeah.
you playing the song, and
yeah.
she was drumming, and mm-hmm. but you were just tracking the drums at that point.
Yeah, so we were just tracking the drums, and the next came, I believe, next came the bass,
mm-hmm.
Which on those recordings is my very good friend Richie Berger, incredible musician, and he was our bassist, pretty much a stand-in bassist for kind of long to be a stand-in, but for like almost a year. I'm
yeah.
not very good with like timeline, but for quite a few months, and he played quite a few shows with us, and all of that crazy like bass stuff you heard going on in
yeah,
there
yeah.
is, you know, every single time I would introduce everybody on stage, I would say, and here's Funkmaster Richard on the bass, because he just had this like crazy approach to like how the bass parts were written and how they were gonna come across in the song, because like that's not really a normal bass part at all, but it adds so much, and it really just adds this really distinct sort of characteristic to Evergreen that's sort of carried through in basically all of our songs. So then Richie was recording, and of course it only took him like one or two takes because he's incredible, but and he's also just, he's a very, very well practiced musician too. Like, some, like myself, I will admit it up front, I am not that great with practicing, but he just somehow is able to sit down and just get it perfect almost every time. So then there was the bass, and then we did the rhythm guitar, which I also play. And my dumb guitar, it was like the first electric guitar I'd ever gotten. And her name was Marley. And so, like, the guitar was basically in the process of breaking. And I knew this, but I didn't have another one. So,
uh-oh.
Basically, there was a problem with, like, the first string. And when you play Doubt, you'll hear it. Like, that first, the very first notes, that's the rhythm guitar. That's me throughout the whole song. That one, like, riff that is key to that song. And it relies on that first string, and it kept making this awful noise. So I sat there for like an hour just trying to record this stupid part, and I was like, guys, what do I do? And we wound up like down tuning the string so I could just like pluck it. But then like for whatever reason, I'm very big on like muscle memory, that I couldn't play it. I couldn't play my own song. So I sat there for like an hour trying to record this one part. And I was, you know, I finally got it right, but it was so funny to me that my silly little broken guitar that I loved very much, like it was a dinky little thing, but I loved it a lot, and I'm very sad to have had to retire it. But after that, we recorded the vocals, which I'm pretty sure that was only one or two takes on the vocals. It might have only been one.
Well, congratulations.
It might have had something to do with, like, the pizza was coming. So I was like, guys, I have to do this before I eat the pizza because the dairy's going to screw me up. And so, like, I had to sort of rush through the recording. But I think it came out okay. Everybody else will have to be the judge of that. But, Yeah, and then finally we recorded the lead guitar, which is Sebastian Munoz, and he isn't in the band anymore because he had to do his own thing, and that's what happens sometimes, is the original members don't always stay.
Yeah.
But he was absolutely essential in forming the sound that is integral to Evergreen. Like, all that lead work is his on those tracks. And even now, like, all of the lead work that he's done on our other songs have at least informed the way that they're played by whoever is playing lead guitar with us these days. So, you know, like, actually what's happening now is Devin, our bassist, is actually a very, very good guitarist. He didn't even know how to play bass when he started playing bass with us. He was just like, I'm going to be an Evergreen now. So he learned the bass. And then after going for a long time trying to get a lead guitarist, we were like, you know what, Devin, you're going to play lead guitar. We're going to find a bassist. So,
cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Maggie, thank you for hanging out with us. We have just enough time for the song, but I just wanted to thank you before we disappear into the radio ether.
Awesome.
For sure, check out her work in Prattsville. And if Evergreen comes to your town, you better be there and scream her lyrics at her.
Heck,
she
yeah.
Loves it. All right, guys. Thanks. This has been the WGXC Afternoon Show. This is Frederick R. Arnold saying enjoy the song and listen for that string. I'm going to be.
Trying to chase what I